Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome, we're on the air from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you can hear our podcast, John Cobell Show On Demand, also on the iHeart app. It's the same as the radio show, and it's just more condensed. We have Steve Garvey coming on at 3 o'clock, the would-be senator, Dodger great, who's been doing better and better in the polling. He's in second place in many polls behind Adam Schiff, ahead of 2 other Democrats who get all the attention from the left-wing progressive media. But Garvey has a following there, and at the moment he could sneak into second place. And we will talk to him about his campaign, because I think he's getting better and better at campaigning as time goes on. Next hour, we're going to have Daniel Guss on. Daniel Guss is the independent journalist, one of the few here in Los Angeles. And he covers things that most of the left-wing media won't cover, especially the El Segundo Times. And he's got some stuff on the one council. I was going through this morning considering the voter guide, which we are going to put out any minute. And there's a lot of races, and there's a lot of races either it's not important to the vast KFI listenership, or I don't really care about it, or I don't know anything about it, right? But I do think that all the Democratic socialists on the LA City Council ought to be removed as quickly as possible. One of them is Nithya Raman. Democratic socialist is code word for communist. And Nithya Raman is represents parts of Hollywood, the bad parts, as well as Mid-City, Park La Brea, then goes up over the mountains into Studio City and Sherman Oaks, all the way to Reseda, Encino. And she's a disastrous. And she's disastrous by design. She actually believes in this crap. She thinks the homeless should have a good run at things. She does not want to get in the way of their lifestyle. And she's terrible and arrogant and I don't know. Not very bright. Seems to be educated, but doesn't seem to have any useful intelligence. Anyway, Daniel Guss had quite a bit to write about her in today's newsletter that he put out. So we'll talk to him next hour, because she's definitely a got to get rid of. There's going to be a list of got to get rid of. And sometime in the next day, I'm going to talk about who I want to see as the next LA County District Attorney. There are really a lot of good candidates, and I've given it a lot of thought, and there's a lot of criteria I want to use before I say, you know, who I would be voting for. I mean, there really is more than one candidate. I'd love to get two candidates in there to finish one and two, but you can only vote for one at a time. So obviously you don't want Gascon, and there's another guy who's just like Gascon, and you don't want him. But there's several good ones, and we'll talk about that as time goes on. Today, yeah, maybe today. Definitely by tomorrow. See what else we've got. I want to start out by talking about this Measure HLA, which a lot of people don't know about. It's a City of Los Angeles measure, but it is something that is spreading all over left-wing cities and states. And it's about, well, in LA specifically, it would be removing a lane of traffic on most of the major boulevards. So let's say you got three lanes on Wilshire Boulevard, or two lanes. Everybody loses a lane. Going east, west, north, south, one less lane. And it'll be replaced with a bike lane that virtually no one will use. They'll put up bollards and barriers for the bike lane. The barriers could be curbing, having a curb right in the middle of the street. And by the way, I've seen this. It goes on. Santa Monica. I recommend everybody take a drive through Santa Monica. Holy crap. I know somebody lives up in San Francisco. They're doing this up there right now. They're removing lanes of traffic. It instantly creates terrible congestion in seconds. You could be driving to work down a three-lane boulevard. You'll come back on a two-lane boulevard, and it'll be jammed up for a mile and a half. Not exaggerating here. And this passes, if Measure HLA passes, we're in for hell. And they're doing this on purpose to drive us out of our cars. They're claiming it's for safety purposes. But now that it's a lie. But I'll tell you how I know for sure it's a lie. I got an email from the Homeowners Association in my section of the city. And it's a homeowners association. I don't live in a development. It's just that for this general area, people pay some dues, and this organization is like a lobbying group looking out for matters like this. And they sent an email the other day and said, do not vote for this Measure HLA. Vote no on it, because here's what it's going to do. And specifically in Brentwood, where I am, there is a main boulevard, San Vicente Boulevard, and that's where most of the businesses are. It has a big median in the center of the strip with coral trees. It's kind of pretty. You have two lanes of traffic going each way. You have a bike lane going each way. And then you have a parking lane on the far right. So you got big median in the middle. It's a really wide street. Two traffic lanes, bike lane, parking lane. The traffic during rush hour and during the middle of the day is abominable, overwhelming, horrible. Whoa! You cannot move. Last night, my wife wanted to go out somewhere, and I said, well, why don't we wait a little bit? Because the traffic was inching along at 2 to 3 miles an hour. You know, you look on the Waze app, and it'll tell you how quickly the traffic is moving, 2-3 miles an hour. Okay, and that's every day. So you have 3-mile-an-hour traffic during a rush hour, and these lunatics, and these are bicycle organizations who are heavily financed by wealthy millionaires. I guess all millionaires are wealthy. But, and what they have a climate change agenda. Their cover story is a safety agenda. They want to get us out of our cars no matter what. So they're going after San Vicente Boulevard, which, again, has terrible traffic problems already and already has a bike lane. And their cover story is safety issues. You know, there's pedestrian deaths. Let me tell you something. Where I'm living, there's no pedestrian deaths, okay? There isn't. There's nobody dying on San Vicente Boulevard. Where there's pedestrian deaths are in the neighborhoods where you have a lot of criminals and a lot of homeless people, where you have a lot of riffraff people driving their cars fast, and they're whacked out on booze and drugs. And there's homeless people also whacked out, stumbling around in the dark or at dusk, and that's when they get run over. And I've said this a million times. You look at the maps of the pedestrian deaths, and then do some further research about the time of it, and that's what's going on. And that's how I know they're lying. Because the surge in deaths are just in certain neighborhoods at certain times of the day, caused by certain people, those who drink and drive or take drugs and drive. And then the people getting run over is their own special class of people, too. And they're drunk and on drugs and stumbling around in the dark. And because we have so many more homeless people and so many more drug addicts and so many more mental patients, that's why the pedestrian death rate is going up. Because crazy people like to wander into the street, walk through traffic, dance in the street, take their clothes off in the street. Talk more about this when we come back.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
We've got Moistline coming up on Friday. We need Moistline calls or it'll just be very quiet in the 3 o'clock hour on Friday. 877-MOIST-86. 877-MOIST-86. You ought to be complaining and bitching about this Measure HLA. Maybe you don't know about it. I'm trying to explain it to you. I mean, you were on San Vicente Boulevard all the time. You know what I'm talking about, Brentwood.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right. Have you ever been in real bad traffic there?
I don't go there that often. I mean, look, I live in the San Fernando Valley, and there's horrendous traffic there.
Ventura Boulevard,
yes.
Right? Well, yeah, they do a road diet there. Oh. Can you imagine taking away a lane in both directions?
No.
Well, that's what they want to do. And they want to do it on all the major boulevards. And you have to vote no on Measure HLA. These are weird. It's pushed by the weird bike fanatic crowd. These are the grown men who bike during the day wearing tight yellow spandex.
Don't you do that when you ride on the weekends?
No, I just wear spandex at home.
Oh, okay.
I never go out
and
in public.
Bright?
That way. It's bright orange. That's my favorite color.
Okay.
Imagine you probably have bright leopard spandex, don't you?
Yes.
See? And you keep that at home too, don't you?
That's sometimes
actually, you wear that to work. Right? You're the one who wears it to work. So nobody likes this Measure HLA if they know about it. And you know, when you look at it on the ballot, it'll be deceptive wording, and you might think, "Oh well, this looks like a good idea." No, it's not. We want to reduce pedestrian deaths. No. Pedestrian deaths are not happening on these boulevards where they're going to do road diets. Pedestrian deaths happen, like I said, because there's so many homeless people in the streets now. And it's not because of speeding. It's not. First, there's an inherent contradiction. You know, they claim this is going to, they have to slow traffic down because the speeding leads to pedestrian deaths. The traffic is already exceedingly slow. Like I said, it's 2 to 3, 5 miles an hour on some of these boulevards. Try to go down Wilshire Boulevard on the west side. I'm most familiar with the west side, obviously. But try to get under the 405 at 5 o'clock. The problem is not speed. The problem is a lack of speed. You can't kill anybody on Wilshire Boulevard at 5 in the afternoon. You can't get your car going fast enough to do that. You can't even mildly injure them. So what they've done is they've, oh my God, everybody is speeding. Yeah, because we all have these weird biases on our head. Yeah, people drive too fast these days. No, they don't. Everybody drives too slow because they can't get anywhere because of the traffic. And if you take out another lane on all the boulevards, you're going to have even more congestion, even slower driving. Actually, there have been times on San Vicente in the late afternoon where it's stopped dead, and it's stopped dead for like 2-3 light cycles. You're going 0 miles an hour. So you take away a lane, you're just going to get traffic backed up to the Pacific Ocean. That's what will happen. The Los Angeles Times, of course, endorses Measure HLA, which is that's all you need to know. You have to vote no. This is one of these weird progressive wet dreams. People wrote letters, and the Times, I guess, could not find anybody who would support Measure HLA because they printed 3 letters and they were all against it, which I thought was interesting. Here's one of them. It says, take a drive down Venice Boulevard in West LA from Culver to Inglewood Boulevard. There's bike and bus only lanes that have been opened. You will see heavier traffic, angry drivers, empty bus lanes, empty bike lanes, and failure. Yes, empty bike lanes. Because hardly anybody rides a bike during the day on city streets. You talk about dangerous? That's what's dangerous. Of course, they want to take up even more space and put up a wall of bollards to protect the three or four bike riders that'll pass through. This same rider says, we don't live in a city where clean and safe buses come reliably every 5 minutes to whisk you where you want to go. We live in a city where buses come when they come, if they come at all, and transfers are often clunky and poorly timed. Nobody with a real job relies on the buses to get to work. Here's another one. They're part of the same letter. Until local government does something significant about offering plentiful public transportation that is cost-effective, that is fast and goes where people want to go, these unfeasible street plans will not work. All Measure HLA will do is make Los Angeles even more unlivable. That's Jeannie Damas. Here's another one. In my opinion, Measure HLA alone is not a viable solution to reducing the number of crashes and deaths. Reducing the number of lanes on certain roads and installing bike lanes will only increase driver stress and dump speeders onto alternate routes not normally utilized by drivers. That's true. People spill into cut-through streets. I know. Because Sunset is backed up and all the streets in my neighborhood become cut-through streets. And people drive 30, 40 miles an hour to get around the Sunset backup. You're going to get more of this. And that's where you can get deaths because little kids or moms pushing strollers will get run over. And that was written by Charles Singer of North Hills. Measure HLA is preposterous. And I've mentioned this many times. I'm not going to go through the story again. But we saw it 7 years ago when we did the shows in Playa del Rey on the Vista Del Mar Road Diet. And that was disastrous. Traffic backed up for over a mile in all directions and no bike riders in the bike lanes. I think there was a total of 5 over a 60-minute period. So this is not about bike lanes. This is not about safety. Nobody was getting run over. And I remember Mike Bonin was pushing it then, and he was claiming specifically about one person who got run over, and we've got to do something. And we found out that person had wandered off from a bar at 2 in the morning, probably drunk, and was walking down the middle of a dark road. And that's when they got hit, because the driver didn't see the drunk guy wandering down the dark road at 2 a.m. And he used that as a reason to cut a traffic lane during rush hour in Playa Del Rey. They lie, they're deceptive, and it's just going to make life more impossible. And it's not going to save the planet either. It's not going to reduce climate change. So please, you got to vote no on Measure HLA. All right, coming back, the other big issue is George Gascon on the ballot. And Channel 7 did a report and interviewed Gascon a little bit. We'll play it for you when we come back, and we'll talk about the race, because now's the time we got to decide on who we're going to vote, who's most likely to beat him. And we also have to make sure that at least one, if not two, of the good guys make the runoff. Because there's not only a bad guy in Gascon, there's another bad guy on the ballot who could sneak in. So you have to be warned and you have to pay attention.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. And you could listen to whatever you missed. Coming up after 2 o'clock, our independent journalist friend Daniel Gus. He's got a weekly column that he writes, a newsletter, and he focused on Nithya Raman. She's the L.A. City Council member whose district is sprawling. It runs from the Valley, Encino, Sherman Oaks, and Studio City, and all the way over the hill into parts of Hollywood. And she is as pro-homeless as you can get. I mean, she just won't do anything. And even when she does occasionally clean up an encampment to get the photo op and the press release, the camp is repopulated in short order. And we're back to square one. And she tries, Karen Bass tries to give her cover, but Bass and Raman make claims that, yeah, we've cleaned it up. And then, woof, here they come rushing back. There's no follow-up. There's no patrol to keep them away. Anyway, Daniel Guest says some interesting stuff about Nithya Raman. She is completely owned by this radical anarchist group called Democratic Socialists of America. And they have three council members, and they want the abolishment of the police department, among other things. Anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-Western way of life, anti-everything that you're about. I don't care what your political belief system is, they're against it. They want to dismantle the American way of life. Whether it's the Democratic way of life, the Republican way of life, anything in between, they want to get rid of it. So we'll talk with Daniel Gus coming up. George Gascon, good friend of the Democratic Socialists of America as well. And he is dismantling the justice system rapidly. He's up for re-election. He's got 11 candidates against him. And boy, I wish maybe he had three. But the 11 is going to split the vote too many ways. And Gascon could sneak into the top two, which he really doesn't deserve. Also, there's another guy who's like Gascon, and he could sneak into the top two. And then you'd have Gascon versus mini Gascon. I'm going to explain this coming up in a moment, because you have to be aware that this vote really matters, and you have to vote for the right guy. We can't spread the vote 11 different ways. That's suicide. Listen to this report. It's also interesting to see how other media outlets cover Gascon. ABC 7 reporter Josh Haskell talked with him.
We're in a much better place today than we were 4 years ago.
That's the message from Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon, who faces a record 11 challengers in the primary next month as he seeks a second term. Gascon's challengers have run campaigns against the incumbent rather than against each other, and the large field could help Gascon. Why so many candidates? A USC Dornsife poll conducted last month found 51% of voters disapprove of the job Gascon is doing.
We're dealing with violence, and in fact, violence has come down, which clearly indicates that the work that we're doing is not necessarily, doesn't cause crime to go up. But we're also addressing the issues of over-incarceration. We're seeing issues of, you know, the equity within the system. And I think that that creates a certain level of anxiety for some people. And also for some, it creates an opportunity. They view it as a, you know, we want to go back to the tough on crime, whatever that looked like.
Gascon tells Eyewitness News all his challengers want to take us backwards, but believes the reforms he's brought to L.A. County will result in crime continuing to go down after it went up during the pandemic. Gascon admits he got off to a rough start.
A very difficult first year. We're not there anymore, you know, and a lot of what you see right now is really you're still people thinking about what happened in 2021 as opposed to what is happening in 2024.
But property crime, smash and grab robberies, and the proliferation of homeless encampments are some of the reasons why residents of L.A. County say they still don't feel safe. And some believe Gascon favors criminals over victims.
What is your answer to addressing this perception that people aren't safe?
Well, I mean, first of all, how is not the answer? Look, it's not that we're not prosecuting or sending people to prison, right? So people may be going now for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, as opposed to 30, 40, 50, right? But they're in prison. So even if you were to believe that I was wrong in the approach, you're going to have to wait several years to see how that plays out. Right now, all the science that we know about the impact of lengthy incarceration points out that we're probably heading in the right direction.
Gascon believes he gets blamed for many issues not under his jurisdiction, saying he doesn't have a stack of misdemeanors sitting on his desk, and he doesn't believe Prop 47 has made us less safe. He also maintains he's not responsible for the homeless crisis.
Until we create more housing, until we deal with the issues of mental health, right, neither the city attorney nor the district attorney are going to be able to cure these problems.
If a candidate in the DA's race doesn't receive more than 50% of the vote in the March 5th primary, there will be a runoff between the top two finishers. It's highly unlikely that a candidate will receive more than 50% because of how large the field is.
Boy, that is rich, huh? He is really a stubborn goat. And he'll never admit to the damage he did. That man, George Gascon, has done more damage to the quality of life in Los Angeles County and across the state than any other human being in our lifetimes. And he claims that he's being blamed for things that are not his responsibility as district attorney. He wrote Prop 47. Prop 47 led directly to all the homelessness you see in the street. Much of that is caused by drugs. And Prop 47 eliminated drug possession and drug use as being serious crimes. It took away the discretion that prosecutors had to offer an arrested drug user or drug seller a choice between jail or treatment. That used to be the deal. You've been arrested for drug use. You want jail or you want treatment? Now they didn't get treatment and they didn't get jail. And George Gascon wrote that. George Gascon's responsible for that change. George Gascon wrote the bill which said there's not going to be felony theft anymore. You could steal up to $950. Turned everything into a misdemeanor. And in LA County and a lot of other places, misdemeanors carry no jail time anymore. Because there's allegedly no room in the jails. Because they moved a lot of prisoners from state prison into the county jails. Part of another reform plan. It's disastrous. And by the way, just came out the other day, retail theft is up 81%. 81% in LA. So he's lying. If most of the public doesn't feel safe, it's because we're not safe. In Gascon's world, we're all wrong and he's right. And he's got science, or, I mean, he might as well run around waving sage in the air to ward off the evil spirits. He's such a colossal liar. You know how you feel. You know what you see. Most of those people in the streets, the homeless people, are committing crimes every day. Just nobody arrests them. They're not prosecuted. The thefts are out of control. Nobody can dispute that. And I'm looking at a list of candidates here, and I see one guy who would agree with And I've seen him debate, and he agrees with most of Gascon's policies. And it's Jeff Chemerinsky. And he's another one. And the fear is that Gascon would finish first and Chemerinsky would finish second. And then you'd have two left-wing fanatics in the finals. So your job, our job, is to get somebody else in as one of the top two. Hopefully, we'd get two good guys as number one and number two. And I'm going to talk about the good guys. I'm going to talk about their funding, because their funding has a lot to do with it. Their personalities have a lot to do with it, whether they could take on Gascon with strength and really get under his skin. And there are several guys who work as L.A. County Deputy DAs who've had many public and private run-ins with Gascon. Gascon has disciplined some of these people because they have fought back against his bad policies. We'll talk about all this when we come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're going through the race against George Gascon because clock's ticking. It's 7 days to the primary, and likely there's going to be two candidates left, because it's nearly impossible with 12 candidates running for anybody to get 50% or 50% plus one. Certainly Gascon's not going to get that. More than half the public gives him a disapproval rating. They disapprove of the job he's doing. So clearly he's in trouble. But because he's got enough progressive support behind him and his opposition is split 11 different ways, he could end up in the number one or number two position and be on the ballot in November against one other candidate. Now, ideally, it'd be great if two of his opponents would get in, but it may only be one. And you have to be really careful who you vote for. Now, I'm looking at the 11 candidates running against him. I'll tell you, one is off the list right away, and you should cross this out immediately and be aware. You do not want Jeff Chemerinsky. He's Gascon, okay? He just has a more pleasant personality. But there's almost nothing that Chemerinsky disagrees with. So he's well-funded. He's the second best-funded candidate. So there's a lot of, I noticed a lot of online ads in my feeds. So you want no on Gascon, no on Chemerinsky. Now, who's a yes? Well, I have met or interviewed most of these candidates. And really, they're all good people. And they all make good DAs. Except for a couple of losers at the bottom who I haven't met, and they're not financed, and they're kind of almost like gag candidates. But I'd say 9 of the 11 are the real thing. However, they're not well financed and they're not well known. And I really don't want to criticize them or downplay them, because they'd probably do well if they could get in, if they could get financed. There's simply too many. So who is well financed and has the personality to actually take on Gascon? Now, this is not a final recommendation. To some extent, I'm thinking out loud here. But I think we've had Jonathan Hatami on a lot, and you know his background with those high-profile cases involving two separate children who were killed by their mothers and boyfriends. And you have seen him challenge Gascon right to his face and call him a liar at one of the debates. Because I'm looking at being well-financed, having the right experience, and being a deputy DA, he knows what's going on from the inside. He can critique Gascon in a way that maybe others can't. Another good candidate is Nathan Hochman, and he's extremely well-financed. He's getting a lot of real estate money. He's got $2.6 million. Hochman is a bit of an outsider, though. He's a U.S. attorney, and he's a hard-charging, no-nonsense guy. And I worry just a little bit, because we're in L.A. County here. And L.A. County goes left. And L.A. County votes for Gascon types. Hochman would be a great DA. Hatami would be a great DA as well. I like John McKinney a lot. He doesn't have a lot of money. He's another deputy DA who's gone up against Gascon and has gotten his... gotten demoted by Gascon. And Eric Siddall is also very good. He's the vice president of the Deputy DA's Union. I mean, those are the best candidates. And Hochman's personality is very strong. Hatami's personality is very strong. McKinney is the favorite of the other deputy DAs, which is interesting. And Siddall has been very, very public in his criticisms. He's been on our show many times. Not as well-financed as Hatami. And nobody's near Hochman. So you got to look at what their personalities are like, whether the voting public is disposed to electing a guy like that. You have to look at their financing as well. There's well-meaning people who are not financed, who are not known. Hochman's got a name. Hatami has got a name. McKinney and Siddall, less of a public name, but they're supported by all the right people. They also both could use more money. So we'll talk more about this tomorrow and come up, I think, with maybe two recommendations. But Chemerinsky, definitely a no. Obviously, Gascon, a no. But we've got to consolidate our collective voting on one or two guys here. Because if it gets split 12 different ways, something bad could happen. And it's a real threat. It's a real threat that something, and you could end up with two progressives in the top two. So you have to get one non-progressive in there. So everybody's got to pay attention here. Everybody's got to read up on the candidates. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. We'll officially announce our voter guide recommendations on this race and other races coming up. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.